to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Merry Christmas and welcome to episode 106 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And yes, show's being posted on Christmas, but this was done about a week and a half or so prior to that. Wanted to make sure that the Lab Traffic Podcast stays fresh in your podcast feed. So Lindsay ended up having a unexpected work trip, and so got a couple days here, so I was able to sit down here in a man cave and put together some best of. So this is the the fifth best of for season two of the Lab Traffic Podcast. Last week, you got part one of a two-part saga. You'll get the second part tonight with Jeff Striegel, who was on a couple times this past season. So last week was part one, and tonight is going to be part two from when Jeff Striegel was on the show. Anyways, I hope you all have a fantastic Christmas and all that good stuff. Good times with friends, family, food, all that good stuff. I'm not going to waste any more time. I am going to roll right into the best of with Jeff Striegel, part two. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He's one of the voices from MRN Radio and Michigan native Jeff Striegel. Jeff, welcome back to the show. How's it going?
It's good to be back, Brandon, and I am doing very well.
Excellent. Glad to have you back, and it was great to shake your hand and meet you face to face over this weekend up top of the big grandstands there at MIS.
Yeah, likewise. All leading up to what turned out to be a very good weekend. I think you would agree. It's crazy. We were talking about it, that we did the triple without rain.
Yes.
And by that, I mean we started out at Pocono, no rain, went to Watkins Glen, no rain, and moved down to Michigan. And other than the rain that we had overnight on Saturday, no rain there either. And I don't know, we don't keep track, but I don't think we've done that recently. So we got to feel blessed about being able to pull those three races off. Beautiful conditions everywhere we went, including Sunday at Michigan.
Oh, it was absolutely beautiful out there. The storms, it's funny you mentioned the storms that came through were pretty intense, but it didn't affect any racing, which is all we can ask for.
Exactly.
So let's start off. This was Michigan's 50th anniversary. It's my home track. It's your home track. Did you get to go and check out the 50th anniversary tents that they had out there and see some of the older IROC cars and some of the display setups that they had for that?
I did. I did. When I was there in June, I was fortunate enough they asked me to host a 50th anniversary dinner and live auction and all kinds of things that they had going on in June. So I had a real close-up opportunity to spend some time there at that point, and I was blown away, totally impressed. They really did a phenomenal job. And then, of course, they had it on display again this past weekend for everybody that was there then. And again, it's just cool, isn't it, to go back in and, you know, for you and I, maybe that was the first time we'd ever been to a racetrack, and to be able to see the cars that were there and on display, it takes you back to when, well, we were a whole lot younger than what we are now, and just kind of relive for a minute. And, you know, I think the highlight there was they had the GFS Marketplace 400 glass trophy on display. And back in 04, 05, 06, and 07, I headed that program up for Gordon Food Service and designed that trophy.
No kidding.
To see that sitting there, yeah, and to see that sitting there really kind of took me back to a very special time when we were the title sponsor for the Cup Series and all the wonderful things that went on during that period of time. So yes, I was there, and yes, I loved it. I thought they did a great job.
I couldn't agree more. It's funny you say that. We both have some ties to Gordon Food Service. So my aunt and uncle, growing up as a kid, owned a catering company, and me and another friend of the family, who worked with the catering company, him and I also worked at Gordon's Food Service for a few years, which helped my uncle out because he used the store we worked at to get all the, you know, the food ordered and all that kind of stuff. So we were like his special Gordon Food Service in-store reps that put his orders together and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I worked for GFS for a couple years myself.
Perfect. I was there for 21 years up until I retired from there a year and a half ago, and now devote full-time or 100% of my time to the Motor Racing Network.
That's awesome. That's so funny. Full circle. Everyone's only separated by six people, right?
There you go. Exactly.
That's awesome. All right. So season dominated by three drivers, sprinkled in with two first-time winners. What's that say about the season so far?
Then we've got three very good teams and we've got everybody else. I mean, I don't really know how to put it any differently than that. You know, I keep waiting to have the opportunity to talk about the fourth driver, the fifth driver, the sixth driver. And I know here shortly we're going to be talking about 16 drivers that are going to be racing for a championship, but I don't know how else to put it. You know, when you take a look at the big three, Harvick, Busch, and Truex, There just seems to be such a gap between those three teams and everybody else. And I come away with a lot of questions like, if Kyle Busch is that good, why isn't Denny Hamlin or Eric Jones or Daniel Suarez? And granted, they've been good, but they're not at that level. We sure. all understand that. We yep. all get that. We see it every week.
Yeah.
If Kevin Harvick is that good, then why isn't Kurt Busch, Clint Boyer, and Eric Almirola? They're good too, but yeah. they're not Kevin Harvick good.
Right.
And, you know, I think we understand that Truex has got the alliance with Joe Gibbs, so, you know, there is something maybe that can be said there, but I just see such a gap, obviously, between our big three and everybody else. And you just keep going to the track thinking, okay, today's the day. Today's the day that Chevy is going to break through. Today's the day, and I'm talking about all of the Chevy teams,
sure.
anybody, pick
yep.
one.
Yep.
Kyle Larson, Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott. Or you go to the track and you think, okay, today's the day that Denny Hamlin is going to break through, or Brad Keselowski or Joey Logano. But every time we pack up and head home, that story hasn't changed any. It's still the big three, and until such point that somebody can get up there and win consistently, it's going to be the big three all the way to Miami.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. You know, and it's, you know, and when we talk about Chevy, you know, Chase got his win, which is incredible for the sport. And I want to get your thoughts on that a little bit later. And I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way. They got their win at a road course, which, not to say Watkins Glen doesn't have a lot of speed, but it's not an oval. And I think Chevy needs to win on an oval to at least be brought back up into the conversation.
I agree with you 100%. And we can talk about what that win meant for the sport, like you said, later on. But I do want to make sure that we're clear. We're not taking anything away from the tremendous drive that Chase had at Watkins Glen. He showed incredible talent.
Absolutely.
He would not have been somebody that I would have picked. He wouldn't have been on my fantasy team.
Nope.
And yet he went out there and showed everybody, if you didn't pick me, you made a mistake because I'm capable. And now we believe it. We saw it firsthand. He didn't back into the win. It wasn't a fuel mileage race. He didn't use strategy. He used skill. He used aggressive driving. And it showed up from the time we dropped the green flag right up until we threw the checker. The way that he went about his business, racing with Kyle Busch, just showed me the kind of talent that we all know that he has. But just in case you forgot, all you had to do was watch him on that day. But to your point, it was not on a 1.5-mile racetrack at Kansas. It wasn't on a 2-mile oval at Michigan. It wasn't on a 1-mile track at Dover. It came on a different track that we only go to twice a year, similar in nature, right, to when we go to Talladega and Daytona.
Absolutely.
You know, we may see a Chevrolet win when we get to Talladega, but that still doesn't give Chevy that statement race that we all need to see, that they need to see, when it comes on a 1 mile, 1.5 mile, 2 mile racetrack.
No, I'm with you. You know, and I went on about a 15-minute rant last week when Chase won, on just how important it was on all those points you just said, that it wasn't a fuel mileage and all that, that he went out there and held off one of the big three mistake free, and that was important for him. Not that you know, a win's a win no matter what, it's in the record books, right? But just to solidify how good he is, he needed to win that race in that fashion to eliminate any doubt or any naysayers, or to say, oh, there should be an asterisk next to his name for that. None of that exists because of the way he went out there and won that race.
No asterisk. Absolutely right. None at all. Nothing but high praise and congratulations to him, his team, everybody involved in that, because you're right. There was plenty of opportunities when you race at the Glen to throw a race away. And, I mean, go back to that last lap going into turn number one. I thought Dave Moody had maybe the greatest radio turn call of all time.
I heard that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, yep. You know, Moody is capable of knocking him out of the park on any lap, on any given race. But on that day, at that moment, and, you know, and I don't know that the listeners can always grasp this, but when I made the call going into one, you know, Chase Elliott, white flag, Chase Elliott leads the field back to one. All right, you know, Dave is ready just simply to call him up through the S's and on his way. But all of a sudden, you've got a driver that has just taken, who's going through his first ever win, just drove it off the course.
Yep.
And is about to throw this thing away, and yet Dave doesn't miss a beat. And not only does he not miss a beat, what he delivers is, in my opinion, certainly is one of the great turn position calls of all time. The way he had everybody, I think, listening to the radio, whether they were driving up and down the road or sitting in the backyard, just all of a sudden you just all inhale and wait to hear what's going to happen next before they could exhale.
Absolutely.
And fortunately, yep, for Chase, he held his composure. He did what he needed to do. He didn't panic. And he held him off and went on and scored the win over Truett.
Yeah. Oh, it was get goosebumps just reliving that right now.
That was awesome.
It was so cool. All right. So let's look back to where we are now at this point last year, 2017. We were all talking about Martin Truex Jr.'s dominating season. At this point last year, he had 15 stage wins, 4 race wins, and 35 playoff points, and was blowing the field away. To date, now 2018, Kevin Harvick, 7 wins, 6 counting towards playoffs, 12 stage wins, and 40 playoff points. Kyle Busch, 5 stage wins, 6 race wins, 35 playoff points, mirroring Martin Truex Jr.'s 35 at this point last year. What does it say that not only is one guy blowing the field away, but three guys are up there mirroring a fantastic season that we didn't think was going to maybe be replicated in 2018?
Agree. And I think what we have now is, and I realize this is a bit of a stretch, but how big of a stretch is it really? What's the fourth driver that's going to race those three for a championship when we get to Miami? Because barring something unforeseen, we know three drivers that are going to be of the four that make up the championship four.
I'm with you.
It would take a colossal, it's going to take a colossal meltdown by one of those three drivers, and it can happen. We know that. I mean, we go back a couple of years ago, and it looked like Truex and Brad, I think it was 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Truex and Brad. Now, granted, the schedule has changed, but both of those guys lose an engine at Talladega.
Yep.
And two guys that we thought were going to be racing for a championship, all of a sudden, in a cloud of smoke, are done.
Yep.
They're done. Forget about it. If you had them going to the championship four, you're out, because they were out.
Yep.
Now, so this can happen, but again, we haven't seen any chink in the armor, if you will, for those three. Those guys are just standing up strong. They don't show any sign of weakness. I mean, good grief. They're good. Here's the problem. They're good everywhere.
Yes.
You know, you'd like to think that you could go to a road course and back them into a corner. No, that's not the case, although Chase did get the win. You think you might be able to go to a mile racetrack? Well, forget it, because Harvick dominates the Phoenix. You think you can back them into a corner on a mile and a half racetrack? You start looking at the stats and you realize that, Busch and Truex and Harvick win there all the time. There's just no weakness in these teams. So if they continue to perform anywhere near the level that they're currently at, what we're trying to do right now, Brandon, is to find out what fourth driver will compete against them when we get to Miami.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeff, there's been a lot of talk of change in the sport, whether it's schedule, tracks. What is a change that you might like to see? You know, just some random, hey, I personally would think this could make the sport better.
Well, we probably don't have enough time for that. you know, I look at it this way. I don't know. Here's what I always find interesting. Then I will answer your question. If we pose that same question to 100 people that are listening to us, we're probably going to get 99 different answers.
Yep.
We might get two that are roughly the same. There are some things that I think that we should probably look at. One of them, and I know that some of my ideas are not widely popular with the pure loyalists, people who have been in the sport, you know, as long or longer than I have, and I respect them for that opinion. But one of the things that I look at is we need to slow these cars down. And here's why. When we are running 200 miles an hour at Michigan, there is only one groove that you can run 200 miles on.
Yeah.
One groove. And what I try to give as an example here is we're driving down, pick a highway, I-75, that's five lanes wide. You're in the middle lane, and you're behind somebody who is doing 1 or 2 miles an hour slower than what you are, but you cannot pass them high, and you cannot pass them low, even though there's nobody in that lane. You just cannot go there. And so what happens is you end up having to follow them. Now, that's what we have at Michigan, and I get that's kind of an archaic way of looking at it, but the fact of the matter is, if you're going to go that fast, you can only use one groove on that five-lane-wide racetrack.
Yep, I'm with you there.
The trucks ran the night before, you know, and they're running 185 miles an hour, and they can drive all over that racetrack. So if we were to slow the cars down, maybe utilizing what we saw or a variation of what we saw at the All-Star race, a variation,
yep,
and we slow these cars down some, we can now move around on the racetrack and use grooves and racing lanes that we've not used before. So that would be one. You know, I mean, I think we could probably go on and on.
Well, I want to give you, I'd like to get your opinion on what I think is something that could potentially help the sport a little bit. And one of the things that I think, they kind of go hand in hand a little bit. One, I think 16 guys making the playoffs is way too many. You know, we're going to have 16 guys make it, and nothing short of a miracle, the casual fan is going to be able to pick the four that don't make it to the round of 12. You know, what outside of it just being for sponsorships to be able to say, hey, we made the playoffs, I think 16 is too many. And I also think that maybe more might be less in terms of the ratings, track attendance. I wouldn't be opposed to cutting the season down a few races and some of these mile and a halfs and 2 mile tracks that we go to twice a year. You know, let's maybe cut those out. You know, I think some of your staples, Daytona obviously needs two races. Martinsville needs two races. Bristol, you know, but some of these other tracks and you know, my staple's Pocono. I'm not a fan of two Pocono races 7 weeks apart, and people could even throw Michigan in there, but I won't say that because it's our home track. But I think those are two things that might, while it's not maybe going to impact on-track performance, might create an itch and a desire to see more racing if we cut it out a little bit.
Well, I think if you're going to go there, and I don't disagree with you, I think our schedule is too long. I think we have too many races. The the comment that you made about how many people are in the championship run, I mean, it's just about 50% now. I mean, obviously, it's just shy of that.
Yeah.
It's almost like hockey. You know, you play a hockey season, and then you've got about six teams that don't advance into the playoffs, and everybody else does.
Right.
Is that necessary?
Yep.
Probably not. From a rating standpoint, I don't know that 16 or 12 or 8 will make the difference like what you're talking about with shortening the schedule. Do you shorten the schedule? Do you shorten, you know, because what you're talking about now is what would make this more appealing to the fan. And here's the thing. Are we talking about the new fan, or are we talking about the fan that we're trying to attract? And that's, I think, the big difference. It's hard to have this conversation with a loyal fan.
Sure.
Because a loyal fan says there's nothing wrong with it. I want you to go 500 miles at this track. I want you to run the Coca-Cola 600 because that's tradition.
Sure.
All right, well, that's great. But I don't know that that five-hour race at Atlanta or at Charlotte is going to appeal to somebody who is trying to become a NASCAR fan. And by trying, meaning I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to go sit in the grandstands. I'm going over to my buddy's house, and we're going to watch this race. So that's that fan that we're trying to attract. I think the races as a whole are too long. I think the season is too long. And I think the other thing that we really need to look at, and I know I get pushback anytime I bring it up, but I also think we need to quiet the cars down. Doesn't mean we have to slow them down. It just means we have to quiet them down. We've all been to a short track, everybody. And short track cars do not run at the same decibel level as what a cup car does or a truck. And when you're taking a family out to Michigan, as an example, for the first time, and you've got your kids with you, and you got your wife, maybe you got your friends, once we drop the green flag, that opportunity to interact with the people that you're there with,
it's gone. It's gone.
I mean, you cannot scream loud enough to ask your wife or your son if they're having a good time because they flat out can't hear.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think sometimes
the pushback is, well, what do you want, a bunch of electric tires going around here? No. But, you know, a short track race car is running 104 decibels, give or take. We're running 140. I mean, just find a happy medium. I mean, you've been to Dover. You've been to Richmond. You've been to Martinsville, we can even use Michigan as an example. You go to Dover, Richmond, Martinsville, Bristol. It's just, in my opinion, it's too loud. But that's my opinion.
Some
people may agree with it, some don't.
I'm not opposed either way. I know that came out earlier in the season. There was some talk and chatter about that on Twitter. I don't remember what sparked that, but you are 100% right in terms of being in the stands. Unless you shell out the big bucks for a two-way headset to be able to talk to whomever you're there with, which the casual fan isn't doing that. You know, the casual fan might walk in without earplugs, which, you know, heaven forbid they make that mistake. You know, it is deafening out there. That is for sure.
And just to put a point on that, I love the fact that I see a dad and his son with the headphones on, because dad is going to show his son that he can listen in to Kevin Harvick all day long and hear that conversation. That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yep. Or he could listen to a radio broadcast. But it shouldn't be, the other reason shouldn't be because my son is going to leave here deaf.
Right.
I mean, that's not the reason that you need to have. In my opinion, that's not why you need to have earbuds and headphones, because our sport that we're going to watch is that loud. So I love the idea of using it for the right reason, but I hate to think that we've got to put headphones on kids and adults alike just because it's so doggone loud.
Sure.
But again, my opinion, some people like it, some people hate it.
I am with you. All right, Jeff. So before we get into some actual race talk from this weekend, tell everyone, you've got a charity, Racing Awareness. Remind everyone what that's all about and what's new with that since the last time you've been on.
Well, I appreciate that, Brandon. Thank you. RacingAwareness.com. RacingAwareness.com is the name of our organization. I have a 501c3 nonprofit charity here in Grand Rapids. that raises money for Helen DeBruce Children's Hospital, one of the top 10 children's hospitals in the nation. It's located here in Grand Rapids. And so we work very hard at trying to raise money to support childhood cancer. Along with that, we own three different race cars that all carry the Helen DeVos Children's Hospital banner on it. No, they are not a sponsor. We just put it out there so people recognize who they are and the fact that we're trying to support them. So up to, by the time we wrap up in September, we'll have our golf outing there, and we will have raised more than $400,000 as a little short track
That's awesome.
Team. We're in our ninth year right now, Brandon, and $400,000 is what we'll have raised by the time we're done with the golf outing in September. We've got three cars that run at Berlin, so yes, I understand what 104 decibel sounds like, because that's the rule that we have, and they still sound like race cars. We've got a couple of super lates that we run over here, and we've got a pavement modified, and we are trying to do something. It's pretty cool, and I'm gonna brag here for a minute. I
by
try not
all
to do
means,
it very often.
By all means.
Well, the guy who runs our super late just clinched the super late championship at Berlin. That is cool, but he becomes the first driver in 68 years of Berlin Raceway to now record a championship in four different, completely different divisions. He won a Pro Stock, you know, years ago. He drove a Super Stock. He drove our Modified and won three championships with that. We moved him up to the Super Late this year, and he's won the championship there doing something. And this is home track to Bob Seneker and Tim Steele and Johnny Benson. I mean, there's been, you know, there's a lot of history here. So he's done that, which is historic. And then if we are able to finish up by taking our three cars, and right now we're in position to do it, to win a championship in all three of those divisions, nobody else has ever done that either. So we're pretty proud of what we've accomplished.
That's incredible.
It's been a pretty phenomenal year.
That's awesome. Well, best of luck. I will definitely keep up and see how that pans out. Best of luck to you guys with that. That's incredible.
On Facebook too, Brandon. Just search Racing Awareness, and you can follow everything we're doing either on Facebook or online at racingawareness.com.
And there's actually a link to you guys on the homepage of the laptrafficpodcast.com, so you can get there as well from that too. So
thank you.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that second interview from this past season with Jeff Striegel as we recapped MIS and just talked some racing. I think I said it last week when I did the best of. Jeff Striegel is just an awesome dude. Very easy to talk to. Love talking with him. Very supportive of the podcast, which is just incredible. It was awesome to meet him at MIS in August last year. And look forward to having Jeff on probably a few more times next season. So hope you guys enjoy Jeff Striegel. All right, Live Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for this best of episode 106 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Still got the contest going for that autographed Richard Childress diecast when I hit 3,500 followers. Let's see, what else? Koozies. I'll still put those out in the mail if you want one. Just hit the contact page on the website, and I'll put another one of these bad boys together for New Year's, and who knows, I'll be back down here come the first of the year. I hope everyone has a great Christmas. Hope everyone celebrates, has a great Happy New Year as well. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!